Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
July 4th. This is the day after July 5th. And I hope all you guys out there had a great time, had a great 4th. Some people are still celebrating because this is the 4th of July weekend. And it was fun for myself and my family also. So it was great. It was wonderful. And like I said, I hope you guys had a great time yesterday. And even today, tomorrow, Monday. Some people are going to be off even on Monday, and the work week will not get started until Tuesday, the 7th of July. So there are some people who are going to still be celebrating, and that's okay. That's wonderful. As long as you're having fun, staying safe, and staying vigilant, and just, you know, wishing America a happy birthday. And happy birthday, America. The 4th of July. And this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm in my studio as always. We're going to try and move the studio out in the open to where the people are so they can get to see who is behind the microphone here. And we're setting up that sometime in the near future, hopefully. And because it's getting hot, we want to take the radio show on the road if we can, possible at all. But we'll keep our fingers crossed for that. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So, you know, we just move right along. Okay, it's the day after 4th of July. Like I've said, the day after the 4th of July, this is the 5th of July. And if you listen, this is the 102nd show of the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I'm proud of that. You know, I've been, I haven't been around that long, but I have made some inroads along the way. And that's because of you. You're listening, you're downloading, you're archiving, and that's because of you. And I thank you very much for that. And I thank you for all your kind comments, you know, that come along. You know, I could use them. They lift my spirits and make me want to keep on doing what I'm doing. But, you know, this show, like any other show, it costs money to put on and everything like that. But I manage, put it that way. We're in Chicago. It's a great city. It's a great town. It's still daylight. It's 78 degrees. Tomorrow I'm hearing it's going to be 90. Yeah. To me, it seems it's going to feel like that's going to be the first 90 of the year in this city, in this town. You might have had many 90s where you are, but this will be the first or second 90 for the city of Chicago. I can't speak for other places, but usually we're back in the 90s starts in May, late May and June. But the weather just been wacky. What can I say? It's been whacked out. A lot of the meteorologists, they've been wrong. They know they have. But you see them on television and they try to deny the fact that they were wrong. They say they'll blame it on the modules, the power Dopplers and all of that. But it's their technology. It's the way they're doing it, so they should take the blame, you know, for misforecasting the weather. They say it's going to be 90 tomorrow. I'm hoping it do be 90. because I think we need it. It'll feel more like summer, you know, as long as it's not consecutive 90s, you know, because we will be sweating our asses off, but a 90 once in a while would be right on the mark, I think. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. This is Sunday. Anything goes. Talk about anything you want to. Sit back and listen while I run my mouth. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It's going to be anything goes. Talk about anything. Nothing's off limits. Just make it clean and decent, okay? Because I regard this show as a family show. George Wilder Jr., George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Block Talk Radio, LinkedIn. Where else am I? Google. Yeah. I might be on Flickr somewhere down the line. You can Google me. You'll find me. You'll find this show. I'm also in iTunes. Yeah, iTunes. Okay. All right. Good thing. All righty. This is George Wilder Jr. As I said for the 100th time, this is the Wilder Network. And you're listening to WTTY, the Wilder Network, on Block Talk Radio. Okay. Out of Chicago, Illinois. And it is beautiful. It is so beautiful. Okay, let's get down to things in the news, or you know, whatever we want to talk about. And if you feel like you want to chime in on anything that I'm discussing or talking about, any topic or that I bring up, I'm going to ad lib everything. Everything is going to be. I have no script in front of me, so I'm just going to be running off at the mouth. If I go too far, get too far to whack, give me a call. My number is 347-857-1762 for your calls, your comments, or whatever you want to do. Or do you want to sit back and listen? That's cool, too. That's fine. It doesn't matter. As long as you listen. That's all it is, you know. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. Show. I guess you guys are sick of me saying that, but I got to keep saying it because I want people to know who they're listening to, because there's a lot of competition out there. So you got to keep telling people so they can kind of stick in their minds so they'll know. Okay, let's move right along. We're talking about, the first thing I want to talk about is Chicago violence. Everybody was predicting before the 4th of July that there was going to be a lot of violence in Chicago for the holiday, this holiday. So on television, we saw the mayor and we saw his superintendent of police, Gary McCartney. These guys were saying that they expected a high amount of shootings in Chicago during the 4th of July weekend. So they came on television, and McCartney was talking about his plan to stop violence in Chicago for the holiday. Because last 4th of July, 2014, I mean, we had about 40 or 50 shootings. People died. So they didn't want that to happen this year. So he came on a few days ago, came on television and told everybody in Chicago that he had a plan to stop the violence. Even Mayor Rahm Emanuel was by his side as he was at the podium and the cameras were on him. And he was telling everybody that he had a plan to stop the violence. It wasn't going to happen, or it wasn't going to happen as much, or they were going to try and curtail it. Okay. And you know, I was skeptical. I was skeptical because I wanted to see it or understand it or witness it not being as high as it was last year, because he said he had police out here everywhere patrolling, doing everything that they need to do to stop the violence or to decrease the violence in the city of Chicago. Okay, so they were all on television, you know, making plans, you know, saying, hey, we got this going, we got that, we're going to do this, we don't do that, violence is not going to be going to take over the city, none of that's going to happen. They were on TV a few days ago saying these things. Okay, this is practically the end of the 4th of July weekend. We still got today to go, we still got, yeah, today. In some cases, we have tomorrow. People won't be off work tomorrow also. And the week is not really going to get started until the 7th. That's when all the lawmakers will be back in Congress, and they're going to be back in the legislature of Illinois to try to get something done. Okay, with that said about Rahm Emanuel and the police superintendent of Chicago, they were going to stop the violence before it start. And I'm here to tell you right now that they have failed. The plan that he put in place has failed. They did not stop the violence. They did not quell the violence. The violence was not decreased. And it's not only my word, it's proof. Proof factual. Over 30 people were shot this weekend. My point is that every time this guy, Gary McCartney, comes on television with his plan to curtail violence or some excuse that guns are perforating the society and we need to get guns off the street, or that crime has lowered, or crime is lower than it was last year, or crime is lower than it was 10 years ago or 5 years ago. You know, somehow that's supposed to make us feel good, you know, even though we can't walk down the street in this city of Chicago. And, I mean, this guy's always coming on television. After somebody gets shot, after there's so many shootings, he comes on the television and tells us crime is down. How can crime be down if there's so many other shootings going on in the city every night, every minute? And you wonder, with all these shootings, you always try to tell yourself, you know, where are the police? Aren't they patrolling? They're supposed to serve and protect. Or they're supposed to be deterrents to crime, stop it before it occurs just by their mere presence. Obviously, if all of this crime is happening in the face of the police, where are the police? Where are they? They failed us. They failed us again. They failed us. I knew they always failed us. They're playing. We got a plan for this. We got a plan for that. We're going to plan this. We're going to stop crime. We're going to get it. Next thing you know, 40 people are shot. 3 people are dead. 4 or 5 people wounded. They don't have a plan. This guy should be fired. The mayor should have been voted out of office. They just cannot seem to get a handle on the crime in this city. But they can never fail to get their faces on television. Okay, 30 people were shot. 3 people are dead. This is between yesterday morning and now. This is the 4th of July weekend in Chicago, and the murders, the shootings were up. Probably surpassed the shootings of last 4th of July. But you just pay attention and watch this guy come on television and say that crime is down. You know, I want to laugh at him. Every time he comes on television and say crime is down in the city of Chicago, I just turn off my television. I don't want to listen to that nonsense. These guys know how to cook the books. They know how to lie. I mean, if it's your family that's being gunned down in the city of Chicago or anywhere, and the superintendent comes on television in your city and says that crime is down, you're going to think these people are nuts and crazy, which they are. Crime is not down in this city. Okay? I mean, you can't really make up. I mean, he's just trying to save his ass. That's all. He's just trying to save his ass by saying crime is down after 30 or 40 shootings in the city. 3 or 4, 5, 6 people dead. And he comes on television to say crime is down when this stuff is happening every weekend, if not each and every day in the city of Chicago. I can't speak for other cities across the country, but I know crime is in every city. Some cities is just a little bit higher than others. But this is ridiculous. This is totally ridiculous. And among the people shot in Chicago during this 4th of July was a 7-year-old boy. It always happens. Chicago boy Amari Brown, among 3 dead and 27 injured just in an 8-hour span during the 4th of July weekend 2015. Amari Brown. He was killed, a 7-year-old boy, African-American. He was among the dead. He was among the 27 people, the 30 people who were shot, but he was fatally shot. And every time something like this happens, the superintendent gets on television and says that crime is down. This guy needs to be fired. He's not doing his job. The only thing this guy is doing is picking up a taxpayer paycheck for doing nothing. Where are the police to stop these shootings? I've said a million times, what you need to do in these crime-ridden areas in the city of Chicago and around the U.S., you have to saturate these areas with police officers. Police have to be present. The only time you catch the police present in Chicago is after the shooting has been done. Where were they before the shooting? Before the shootings. You only see them after the fact. After the bodies are on the ground, that's when you see them. They're saturating the neighborhood then. They're all over the place. But they couldn't do that before the shootings started, to curtail it, to deter crime. Actually, I think some of the police officers are just scared. They are scared of the gangbangers. They're scared of the thugs because the thugs may have more guns than they do, powerful weapons. I'm not sure of that. But you come up with anything that you can say to why the police officers have not got a grip on this crime, and it's been happening for so long. Chicago has the highest crime rate than any city in the U.S. And that's the truth. New York City is the largest state in the United States. And it has less crime. I mean, New York City is the largest city within the United States. It's bigger than Chicago. And it has less crime than Chicago. They have a handle on it. Los Angeles is larger than Chicago. And they have a handle on crime. Why can't Chicago get a handle on these shootings, these killings of these babies? Literally babies. Okay, I'm thinking that tonight or tomorrow night, this guy's going to come on television and cite statistics from way back in the day that crime is lower than it was then. How in the hell can you say that after a seven-year-old has been killed? Crime is not low. Crime has not decreased. It's worse than it's ever been in the city of Chicago. These people love to shoot. They love to kill. They will not put the guns down. They love publicity. They love to see their work on television. The more you espouse to these thugs out here to put the guns down, the more they're going to pick those guns up because they don't care. It's what they do. It's what they're about. The police know where these crimes are occurring. They know who the people who are doing them, but they just don't have the evidence to lock these people up. The criminals, they're not hiding. The murderers, the shooters, they are not hiding. They are out there right in front of us, laughing and grinning and waiting to do it again because the police cannot catch these guys and throw their asses in jail. We need better leadership in the city of Chicago on crime. It's just not Emmanuel. It's just not this guy, the superintendent of police, Gary McCartney, if that's his name. I should know his name. I really don't give a damn if I know his name or not because he's not doing his job. He should be fired. Somebody should take it over that know how to fight crime in the city of Chicago. I don't think it's that hard. I don't think it's that difficult. This guy, he has an attitude problem. I've seen him on television and too many times talking about how crime is down from last year or 2 years ago or 14 years ago. You know, which is ridiculous. We want to get crime down. We're not talking about years ago. The hell with what happened 2 or 3 years ago. We want something to happen now, positively, on lowering crime. Yeah, we need gun control, but maybe that's not going to happen. You have to have plans, ideas. You got to come up with plans and ideas of how to this crap. That's what you're getting paid for. If you're not stopping the crime in the city of Chicago, if you're not stopping the shootings, if you're not stopping people from getting killed, if you're not stopping babies 7-year-old boys from getting killed. You're not doing your job. You're collecting a paycheck and not doing your job. He's not doing his job. Emmanuel is not doing his job on city crime. They're not doing it, period. And I hope they're hearing this broadcast. I couldn't care 2 cents what they think. I'm a taxpayer. I'm paying your salary, the mayor's salary, the superintendent of police. We're paying his salary. We have the right for police protection in this city, or quit. If you can't do it, get out. That's what I'm saying. Get out if you cannot protect the people of this city. The people can't walk out to the store. They can't take their kids to the playground. They can't even sit on their porches or their front stairs or their stoop or anything for somebody, some idiot in a car driving by and plugging them full of holes. Bullets. Bullets are flying everywhere. And all we can get from McCartney and Rahm is crime is down. How in the hell is crime down when it's constantly on the increase? The thugs out here are going to grab the guns no matter what. The more you protest, where's Jesse Jackson on this? Where is Al Sharpton and some of these other black leaders in these communities? Where are they? Yeah, they're talking. That's all they're doing is talking. Reverend Father Flager, what is he doing? Talking. He's trying to be a pariah in the black community, saying he's out there trying to stop the crime, or he's stopping. He's not stopping anything. The criminals don't give a damn about him or anybody else. They want to shoot. This is a police matter. This is a police problem. I am so sick of it. Every damn weekend, 30 or 40 people are being shot. And it's summertime now. It's gonna be maybe 70 or 80 people getting shot. Not everybody getting killed, but a lot of people wounded and injured. But there'll be a few fatally shot to death. And the police know this. The mayor knows this. I think the mayor tries to pivot from this conversation somewhat to talk about something else. If he and his superintendent can't get a handle on crime in this town, they should quit and let somebody take the job who can do this. We don't need to waste our time with these people for 4 more years, and people are going to constantly get shot and die in this town. It doesn't make sense. Chicago boy Amari Brown, if I'm pronouncing his name right, is Amari Brown, among 3 dead, 27 injured, just in an 8-hour span. And we're talking about the 4th of July weekend, 2015. Okay, here we go. In just an 8-hour span during the 4th of July weekend, gun violence in Chicago left 3 people dead and 20 wounded. Amari Brown, a 7-year-old boy on the city's west side, was the youngest of all fatalities. 7-year-old kid was shot to death on the west side of this city. Those 30 shootings came between 9:20 p.m. Saturday and 4:45 a.m. Sunday. Wow, between 8 hours, right? Amari had spent the day celebrating with his family and riding his scooter up and down the block where he lived with his grandmother and several other relatives in the Humboldt Park. In the Humboldt Park neighborhood, just before midnight, a gunman opened fire outside of a relative's home where Amari and other children were playing, hitting both the 7-year-old and a 26-year-old woman in the chest. Amari was pronounced dead at the area hospital about 2 hours later. Police told the Chicago Sun-Times neither Amari nor the woman was the intended target. So therefore, the gunman was shooting at someone else, or he couldn't shoot straight, period, and hit this young boy and a young woman, I'm thinking. Okay? There's a photograph of him right here, and he's just a nice little boy. I mean, every time a kid, 7-year-old or 8-year-old or 5-year-old or 4-year-old, gets shot because some thug cannot shoot straight, that's potential loss. Who knows? This guy could have probably grew up to be a senator, a representative, or even the president of the United States. That's potential loss. This guy will never see the light of day. He would never, you know, it's just awful. And this happens all the time where 4 or 5-year-old children are caught in the crossfire of dumbass gangbangers, thugs. And the thing about it, and to cap it all off, some of these guys are never caught. They're never apprehended. They're out there to do this again. Because if they're not caught, they're free to shoot and gun down more children. So the police does not have a plan. Oh, yeah, they take guns off the street every so often. But the more guns they take off the street, the more guns are out here. You need gun control. And I'm not saying, I'm not advocating take away no one's gun. I'm saying get the guns out of the hands of the bad guys who will harm us and harm our children. They will harm us and they will harm our children. Children, if I can say it. This is just horrible. You can't enjoy the holiday. You can't go outside. You can't go to the park. Somebody is going to fire a gun. You know, I like I said, in a lot of these places where these guns are going off and killing people, there should be lots of police presence. If you know that there is communities within a city that are criminal and, you know, war zone, you should be over there all the time. I mean, you should be saturating that community with police officers. The National Guard, hell, the U.S. Army, get something over there. I mean, there was a time crime was so bad in Chicago that a lot of people were suggesting the National Guard, the U.S. Army. Even the U.S. Army asked the state of Illinois if they needed help, and they turned them down. They turned down the National Guard. And a lot of us wonder, why in the hell did they turn these people down? The National Guard was offering help. The federal government was offering help. But yet, Emmanuel and Pat Quinn, when he was governor, turned down this help. I think that we still do need those options of the United States Army, the SWAT teams, tactical forces, anything and everything. Get it all over there on these west side and south side of these cities and wash these criminals out. The criminals are so dumb, they'll wind up shooting at the military. That's cool because they will be taken out of their misery or our misery or whatever. I guess in essence I'm saying put the military over there on the west side and south side of Chicago. The National Guard, FBI, SWAT. You name it, get them all over there and just flush and wash these assholes out. Who wants to kill our children? Get them out. The police know who these guys are. They know where they are. But yet they won't take these guys off the street. You see somebody riding around in a suspicious automobile, you stop them. You don't let them go. If they don't have license plates or if the tail light is busted, a window is broken, You have to do something about the crime in this town. Or are they going to wind up taking over Chicago, the criminals, with the police, taking over the police? A lot of these officers out here, they're young. Some of them look as if they're just teenagers. And I'm pretty sure a lot of them are just plain old scared. I mean, if you're scared and don't want to do your job, do not become a police officer. If you're afraid of getting shot or shot at, do not become a police officer. If you become a police officer, your job is to serve and protect. And you are not doing that. If crime is the way it is in this city every weekend, every day, shootings, more shootings, then you are not doing your job. Taxpayer should no longer be paying you because you're not doing your job. Our kids are getting killed and murdered and slaughtered on these streets every night. Anytime you can't go outside to the store or ride your bike up and down the street without getting shot, this is a place I wouldn't want to be. I wouldn't want to live. And I still say to Spike Lee, this is not Chirac. This is nothing near Chirac. But it's nowhere near perfect either. There's a lot of work to be done, and that's why we hired the mayor. That's why we hired the superintendent. But we need to fire the asses because they're not doing their jobs preventing and curtailing crime. Period. Like I said at the start of the show, these guys were on TV a few days ago trying to design and tell us about their plans to stop or slow down violence. But that hasn't happened. So their plan failed because 30 or more people have been shot, including a 7-year-old boy, fatally. So they are failures. But do you think they're going to admit that? No way. They're going to get on television and say, well, crime is down. They're going to compare today's statistics from statistics of 4 or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, which is ludicrous, which is crazy. I don't want to live in the past. This is the future. What are you going to do now? How are you going to protect people? Your job is to serve us and protect us. You don't do that. Just like a politician, you serve yourself. You protect yourself by not being out here to protect us from the gangbangers, the thugs, the guys, the bad guys with the guns who will shoot because they just don't give a damn. Describe Amari as a sweet, sweet little boy who loved to joke and dance and who had a big imagination. It's crazy. Like, who would shoot a 7-year-old? He got shot in the chest. Who would do that to a baby? Amari's grandmother said to the Sun-Times, all the kids are getting killed out here. She's right. All the kids are getting killed out here with no protection from the police. These kids are dying with no protection from the police. This is crazy. And we would like to know, everybody would like to know, when will this stop? Superintendent Gary McCarthy, Mayor Emanuel, when will this stop? You guys always think, though, saying that you have a plan. You have no plan. Your plans are not working. Throw you guys out of office and get somebody in there with some plans that can work to stop the killing, the mayhem, taking of our babies. Enough is enough. Enough is enough of this. When will it stop? Okay, here we go. No arrest. Okay, all of these shootings and no arrest. That means that the bad guys are still out there and they're going to keep on pulling that trigger. They're going to keep on, and that's the worst part of it. When somebody gets shot just for the hell of it, the bad guys should be caught, but when they're not caught, they're out there to do this again, to shoot other kids, other babies. These guys do not have a plan. Yet, I am pissed off. I live in the city of Chicago. I don't like it. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a voter. I help pay their salaries. I am pissed. I have a right to complain. You too. If you're a taxpayer, a voter, a concerned citizen, you want the best for your city, your state, your town. Get in the asses of these people who are supposed to be representing you. Get in the asses of these people who are supposed to be protecting and serving and not doing their jobs and still walking away with a big paycheck. A paycheck that they do not deserve. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm going to take a break here, and I will be right back. Stay with me if I can find ba, 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 ba. Stay with me. I'll be right back. All right. Oh, I'm sorry about that if that was dead air. I don't know if I caught that in time. But you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network. And I'm going to be discussing autism again. Yesterday on the show, there was some difficulty, and I couldn't get the 17-year-old with autism to be cranked up. I have a clip, and I wanted you guys to hear that because, like I said, this is a male. Yesterday we had a female, but this is a male, and he's also a person with autism, and he's going to be discussing how he deals with it and his experiences with it, if I can get that out. Okay, so he's going to be talking about that a little later on in the show. George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, and this is the Wilder Network, and I am broadcasting live from Chicago, and it's a beautiful city. It's a beautiful town. I hope you had a great July 4th. I certainly did. I was working, but you know, I still had a great time. I just love being on the radio. I love that you're there. I love that you're out there. I love that you're listening and archiving and downloading and all that kind of stuff. If you can give me some feedback, that's fine. If you don't want to, that's fine too. You know, so just as long as you're having a good time and everything is going well, that's all I wish of you. So this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let me see if we can crank something up here. Okay. And I will be right back. Listen to this. Hey, friends and fans. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. You know, it costs a lot to keep this show airing. It takes time, preparation, and dedication. And most of all, it takes revenue. If you would like to donate to keep this show on the air each and every day, just about, go to www.georgewilderjr.com. That's www.georgewilderjr.com to help keep this important show on the air. Donate for a good cause. The cause of this show, my show, your show. This is the talk of our time. Thank you very much. The show has come to an end. I want to thank all my... You are listening
wrong
to the
button.
George Wilder Jr. Show on the
That's
Wild
the wrong button.
WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show,
okay.
You will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening, and stay with me. All right, we were talking about crime in the city of Chicago, and it is, man, it is something. I mean, I've said this before on the show. Anytime it warms up, I mean, the guys come out with the guns and they start the blazing and everybody dies, at least in that community or in that neighborhood, a particular neighborhood or on a particular side of the city. Crime is all over Chicago, but in certain areas, it hits the most. And it seems like just like funding cuts and budget cuts hit the poor, also crime. So they have a double whammy. They have crime and they have funding cuts and budget cuts. And that's just not fair. You know, our state legislatures are not doing their job or their jobs. And our police departments are not doing their jobs. And the only way you can change things, it's not by sitting at home watching TV, pretending like you don't know, pretending like you don't hear, pretending to be blind of all of this. It's not going to work. You cannot pretend like this stuff is not happening. You cannot pretend like you don't want to talk about it, interested in it. It's because you are a taxpayer. You are old enough to vote. If you're not a voter, you should be. And you can change things. There's too many people out here who are turning a blind eye to all of this. As if it doesn't affect me. I don't need to know about it. I don't need to read it. I don't need to do anything. Doesn't affect me. Doesn't bother me. Yes, it does. If you are a citizen of the United States, you live here, it affects you. And to pretend like it doesn't, or but you don't see, or you're ignoring it, or you're not interested in it, or it's something that you just don't talk about or do or have knowledge of, any knowledge of, it's just not right. We are the 99 percenters. We can rise up against the hatred. But if we sit back and do nothing, turn a blind eye to this, pretend like it's not happening, pretend like it's not going to affect you, pretend like you just don't give a damn about it. It's another person's problem. No, it's not. It's not another person's problem. It's all of our problems. It's everybody's problem. There's too many people out here who just don't care, don't want to hear it, don't want to talk about it, running from it. You got to stop that. It has to stop, or we're not going to get anywhere. We have to unite against the negativity. Going is going to keep on flourishing, and it's going to hit you where you live. If you're not educated on a certain topic or on a certain thing that you should know of, get educated. You have the internet right there in front of you. Anything you want to know or need to know or should know is right there in front of you on your internet, on your iPhone, your iPad, whatever device you're using to go online. It's right there, anything you need to know. You don't need to be in a classroom to learn anything. You have that computer right in front of you. That is your learning machine. That is your machine to give you all the knowledge in the world about anything that you want to know, is that computer. You don't need a bachelor's degree. You don't need a PhD degree or any of that. Just get your mind out of a cloud and start learning about the things you should know to make your life better. If someone's screwing with your life, you get out there and you fight to get your life back. Oh, well, they did this to me. I guess I have to take it. You don't have to take anything unless you just want them to do you over. If you want to roll over when somebody's kicking you, then that's your problem. They will kick you. As long as you want to be kicked, they will kick you, and they will proudly kick you. But if you're going to kick them back, they're going to stand up and take notice of you. But if you want to sleep in the gutter, then nobody's going to stop you. But if you want to get up and do better for yourself, do better for the people around you, we're all out there to help you. But you got to help yourself. You help yourself, other people are going to gravitate towards you, and we're all going to help you. But at first, we have to see that you want to help yourself. There's a lot of people out here that don't give a damn. They don't want to help themselves. They figure because they're down and out that the rest of us owe them something. I don't owe you anything. You owe everything to yourself. Nobody owes you nothing. You're young enough, you're strong enough, you're able enough, you're smart enough, you're good looking enough to get out there and go after what you want. Do not sit around thinking because you're poor that I ought to somehow take care of you and give you stuff because you don't have anything. It's not going to happen. You want it, you go after it, you get it. If you don't have the skills to go after what you want, go get those skills and then go after what you want. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. You can always follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Block Talk Radio. I'm all over the place. Like I said before, we still have this clip of this young fellow, this fellow who is 17 years old. 17 years old. He has autism. And he's going to explain to us what it's like to have autism. I mean, because I think most of Americans, if not at least 50 to 60% of Americans have someone in their family or know someone who has autism. And a lot of us, we don't really understand autism. I know I don't. But there's nothing like listening to someone who has autism. And that's the thing. That's the thing. Someone who has it, someone who's knowledgeable of it, someone who has the experience to back it up. No doctor, no parent or anything. It's just that the 17-year-old.
Hello, my name is Matthew Ryan Moore.
Here he is right now.
And I am 18, struggling with autism and ADD. Now, before we go on, I just want to make a few things clear. Now, there's several different types of autism. The autism that I have has to do with the way I connect with people. I have social problems such as I can't interact with people that well. I get shy and nervous when I'm around people, and I'm not gonna lie, I am probably the most bashful person ever unless I know that person well. Unless I get to know that person, it's painful for me to talk. It's hard for me to hang around in crowds without getting anxiety and pissing my pants. Well, not pissing my pants, but sometimes, you guys get my point, I'm very antisocial. No, but seriously, from me not socializing with people gets me uninterested in communicating, and so I am unaware of all of my surroundings. I leave the world behind me and land into my little dream world inside my head. And then finally, when someone shrugs me, hey Matthew, and I finally wake up, the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, what? And part of that is my autism, and another part of that is my ADD, which I will get into that a little later, but another issue I have with my autism is eye contact. I lack eye contact. The most difficult issue I have with my autism is staring at someone when they talk. When someone's talking to me, something makes me look away, and then the person thinks, oh, like, oh my gosh, how rude, he looked away from me. And then it's not because I'm being rude, it's because I can't stare at someone directly in the eye. Now, here's the weirdest part. Because I'm trying to teach myself to learn not to lack eye contact, when I do try to look at someone in the eye, if I stare at their eye for like 6 seconds, it hurts my eyes, and it's not because the person is ugly and I get sick of looking at them, it just burns my eyes to look someone straight in the eye. Now, another problem I have with eye contact is the embarrassment. Because I'm so bashful, if I'm at the grocery store and a nice lady walks past me in her cart and we catch eye contact, the lady is going to be nice and smile back. But now with me, I'm so bashful that I look away and think, holy crap, she's smiling at me. Now, to be friendly, I might look up, smile back, but it will most likely be a grin, and because I'm so shy, I'm going to blush, my heart will start to race, and that's from the autism causing me to get anxiety. Now, I'm going to get back to socializing. Now, when I'm talking to someone and the person asks me a question, I have to pause and think about what to say. I have trouble figuring out what I'm going to say next. So I'll pause for 10 seconds, I might even stutter, and then the person might get the picture and walk away or move on to the next question before I even answer it. Now, the next thing that I am going to be talking about is clumsiness. Yes, my autism causes me to have clumsy behavior, such as a girl drops a pencil in school, asks me to pick it up, my face blushes, my heart races, I get anxious, I bend over, grab the pencil, and on my way up, I bang my head on the desk, everybody laughs at me, it's embarrassing. Now, this story I just told you has never happened to me before, but I just made it up as an example, but my autism does give me clumsy-like behavior. Now, you're probably wondering If I have an issue figuring out what to say next, how come you're talking perfectly fine right now? Well, because I have my laptop in front of me and all of my notes and facts I have planned for this video are on a word processor. Plus, I'm putting myself into this because I want people to know who I am. Now that I have answered that question, I am going to move on. Now I am going to tell you guys about ADD. Now, half the world has ADD. ADD or ADHD is the most common disorder. Now, I am a YouTube comedian. I make these hilarious, crazy, bizarre, humorous kind of comedy videos. My type of comedy includes sketch, prank phone calls, stand-up, and more. If you've never seen my comedy videos, I'll put the link up in the description of this video. But it's youtube.com/madok1993, but I best warn you, it's the kind of comedy you find on Family Guy or Robot Chicken, and a little too disturbing. So I'm just warning you. So basically, I take all of my energy from the ADD out on my videos, and then people think I'm nuts after watching them. All I can say about that is, I know I am. So, if you do visit my YouTube channel, prepare to be shocked. In fact, people do get shocked at me when they see my videos because I'm so quiet and shy. That's probably why I'm so into filmmaking, because I'm always by myself with no one to talk to, so I am focused at it. And when you're alone by yourself thinking, you're using your brain, and most of the time, so basically all of my ideas and creativity come to my head, and that gives me the skill to do these amazing things that people get shocked over. So, if there were a cure for my autism and ADD, I would not take it because it makes me who I am. And I don't want to change that. I am what I am. I was born like this. God made me this way. And I'm proud of myself. And I can care less what people think of me. I have been bullied and pushed around all my life, and I just want to prove the world wrong, which gives us another topic to cover. The torture I went through in middle school. The previous school I went to was downright disgusting from the way the kids treated me and the way the teachers treated me. Let's start with the bullying. I was called everything from freak to retard to faggot, and believe it or not, I was called a lot worser things that I'm not going to repeat. But basically, that was all that was in a child's vocabulary back in middle school. Swear words, hate words, that's all I heard the whole entire day. Now, all I can say is I was bullied to the point where I was afraid to go to school. Those 3 years I was in middle school were the most depressing years of my life. And at one point, I cried myself to sleep thinking about the way I was treated. Stress not only came from the bullying, but also came from the teachers. I'm not saying all the teachers, but a good majority of the teachers in that school treated me like crap. In the end, they never gave me a chance in that school. Now, I'm not going to go into any details, and I am not going to give out the name of the school because I don't want to get anyone in trouble, and plus, it's over and done with, and it's not worth my time anymore. So basically, I just want to say that I left public school to to go to a private school, and it has been the best 3 years. I love it. The kids and the teachers treat me good. Actually, half the kids in that school have ADD just like me, so I can relate to them. And if anybody from the school is watching us, I just want to thank everyone for helping me and supporting me. The teachers in my old school were run by a bunch of animals. In this school, you guys are actually human beings. So, thank you. Now, obviously, it's hard for me to make friends or get into relationships because I don't socialize much. So, for now, I am putting my socializing aside and working more on building a future for myself. Now, before we end this video, I just want to make a few things clear. I just want to say that I have the ability to do anything. Just because I learn and do things differently does not mean anything. And that's why I am working hard at movie making, because I have amazing ideas for my future in the film industry, and I want to prove the world wrong and make something out of myself and build my future. Now, before we end this video, I just want to say that I have the ability to do anything. Just because I learn and do things differently does not mean anything, and that's why I'm working hard at movie making, because I have amazing ideas for my future in the film industry, and I want to prove to the world and make something out of myself and build my future. You can laugh at me all you want. I've been through it. And all I'm going to say is nobody and nothing is going to stop me from doing what I want to do. I'm not going to let anybody or nothing get in my way. I was born to be somebody, and I'm going to be it. All those kids that told me I could not do it can go shove it. I heard stories about them, and all I can say is, look at them, and look at me. I am starting to live my dream, and I am going to continue to work hard till I get what I'm after. And that's what success is all about, believing and trying. If there are a cure for autism or ADD, I will never take it, because to me, autism and ADD is a gift of life for me. It is a blessing. So if you ask me and all of the other people who are on the autism spectrum, they'll all tell you the same thing. None of us are looking for a cure. Don't feel bad for us. Just accept us for who we are. To me, trying to cure autism or any other disability, or should I say difference, is like getting an abortion. Why? If you are a parent and you want to cure your child's disability, then you are not accepting your child for who they are. Abortion is the same thing, but worse. I am not saying it's not good to look for cures for these disabilities. It's always good to find cures for things. All I am saying is that most of us autistics don't want a cure because we are who we are and we accept it. And the parents should do the same. No, I don't take pills and I don't go to therapy. I've been controlling my ADD and my autism on my own for almost 4 years now, and like I said, I take everything out on my videos. For me, it's better than sitting in front of someone you don't even know and hearing them say you have issues and then feeding you with more pills. I can handle myself quite well, thank you very much. Now, I'm not saying that I'm against counseling, therapy, or taking pills. Everybody's different. I myself don't have need in it because I know that I can control this on my own. So, to conclude this video, I just want to say thanks for watching. I hope you are inspired. I hope this was moving and touching. I just want to give the message out that autism for me is not a disability. It's something God, I believe that God created to show humanity how to be human, to understand each other better. There are a lot of famous people with disabilities. For example, Albert Einstein had dyslexia, plus bipolar, and was also said to have autistic characteristics. Bill Gates, the world's richest man, is thought to have had Asperger's syndrome, a form of autism. Even Elvis Presley is thought to most likely have some form of bipolar. Other famous people include Tim Burton, Alfred Hitchcock, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Benjamin Franklin, Beethoven, Leonardo da Vinci, William Shakespeare, Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, and the list just goes on and on and on. All I can say is, I get where these people are coming from. They were all considered nobodies, and look what they have become. I know that I have a long future ahead of me, so I'm going to keep working hard till I get there, and when I do, I'm going to look back at this and think, wow, I've done it. The reason why I made this video is because I'm not going to lie about myself and cover this up anymore. I'm done with that. I'm not afraid to reveal the truth anymore. I was before, but now I'm not. So I leave you the choice. You can either hate me or accept me for who I am. Okay, so I had this video on the back of my mind for a long time, and I just want to show everybody how much I wanted to make this video.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you for that. That was moving. That was, someone with autism, Matthew, who is telling us about autism. You know, so I applaud him for that, and I applaud all the other youngsters out there who are courageous enough to take on this disability and say, I'm just like everybody else. I'm not that much different. I can be just as famous as other people who have become famous having the disability of autism. And I applaud them all. I really do applaud them all. I'm learning something about it myself. I'm learning every day, because... like I said before at the beginning of the show, at some point, a lot of us know someone who has autism or know of someone, or a person like this might be in your family, and you treat them just like anybody else. You don't treat them any differently. Now, if you listen to the show, if you listen to that segment with Matthew, you know a little bit more about it, as I do. And he was passionate about it. He was very passionate. And he explained why he couldn't look some people in the eye. You know, it's not something, he was not trying to be rude. Like there's so many other people out here with autism that can't look other people in their eye when they're talking to them. They're not trying to be rude. They're not trying to be disrespectful. They're not trying to be rude. They're not trying to be disrespectful. It's just that sometimes it might be a little painful for them to do that. And it's not saying just because someone doesn't look you in the eye with autism doesn't mean that they do not understand what you are saying. You know, they get it. They get it. They just get it in a different way. They just have their own way of processing information. But it does not mean that they're dumb in any way. So, and a lot of people do make fun of them. They taunt them. They bully them. And that's not right. That's not right. You can always, if you know someone with autism, you know, archive this show, download this show, and have them listen to Matthew. And there's another young lady that I had on a show. She was a clipped audio also. And she talks about autism, and I've done things on this show, on the George Wilder Jr. show, on autism pretty extensively. I think autism and diabetes are going to show up on this show from now until the day that I end it. You know, I'm not going to talk about these things every day, but once in a while I'm going to bring them up because these are two things that are close to my heart and that I want people to understand. Diabetes can be cured. Autism cannot be cured. And we're going to talk about those things in depth some more on this show. But, you know, if you want to archive some of my previous shows where I'm talking about these things, you know, you can always look for the title. Most of the time, the title or the topic of the show will tell you what is being presented on that particular show during that particular time. You know, so autism and diabetes, you know, those are two things that are close to my heart. Remember what I just said. Autism is not curable. You're going to have it for the rest of your life. If you've been diagnosed with it, you're going to have it. Diabetes, if you do the right thing, it can be curable. You can get rid of it. This is not just George Wilder Jr. saying it. It is what doctors and other specialists have noted. But you have to do the right thing. You have to do the right thing. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Hey friends and fans, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. You know, it costs a lot to keep this show airing. It takes time, preparation, and dedication, and most of all, it takes revenue. If you would like to donate to keep this show on the air each and every day, just about, go to www.georgewilderjr.com. That's www.georgewilderjr.com to help keep this important show on the air. Donate for a good cause. The cause of this show, my show, your show. This is the talk of our time. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. Thanks for that. All righty. Just like I was saying about Chicago crime, I'm gonna talk about that until the show ends. I do not have a smart quiz question today. I have one next week, so you can tune in and look forward to that. I was talking about 4th of July crime in Chicago, or just crime in general, crime all around the state, but I'm specifically talking about Chicago because I happen to be a resident of Chicago and a resident of the state of Illinois. And I don't think it's right to have a police department that can't seem to get a handle on what's going on in this city. They can they seem to be able to shut down the drug markets, but they just cannot seem to get the criminals off the street that are shooting down our babies. As of Sunday afternoon, a total of 9 people were killed and 35 injured since the long holiday weekend started Thursday afternoon. Since Thursday, 35 people have been shot. Since yesterday morning, 30 people have been shot, 3 fatally, including a 7-year-old boy. Okay, like I said before, before all of this started, McCartney was on television with Rahm Emanuel. And he promised all hands on deck. That means that they were going to be out here in force to try to stop this shooting. Apparently, all hands were not on deck during the holiday weekend to avoid a repeat of the last year's 4th of July shooting levels. Okay, they have statistics here. They say in 2014, 82 people were shot, 14 of them fatally. That means 14 died. Okay, Chicago has already tallied more than 220 homicides so far this year, at least 200 of those which have been from shootings. And watch this guy get on television either tonight or tomorrow night or Tuesday coming up, and he's going to get on and tout statistics from 10 years ago, 2 years ago, or whatever, and compare them to the statistics of at the present, right now. And that's not fair. That's not fair. He had a plan. He stated he had a plan. His plan failed. It says right here that he was talking about all hands on deck. Apparently, all hands were not on deck. I guess that's when he says all hands on deck, I'm assuming he means the police are going to be out in force to stop these kinds of shootings. Apparently, they were not out in force. If they were, they weren't doing their job because 35 people were shot during this holiday weekend, July 4th. And the weekend is still progressing as I talk about this on this day. The weekend will not be over until maybe, 8 or 9 o'clock tonight. And there's no telling how many people are being shot at or shot or killed as I'm giving this broadcast right now, as I sit in my studio. Now, you don't think about all the people out here that are afraid to come out and enjoy the holiday weekend because of the violence, but it's happening in this town, I'm pretty sure in other towns, and it should not be. I mean, like I said before, we are paying these people. What are we paying these people for if they cannot, they're sworn to do? They should not have jobs. It starts at the top. Superintendent Gary McCartney should be thrown out on his ass. He's not doing his job. Mayor Rahm Emanuel promised that he would do something about this city crime as he was being elected for the second time. Apparently, like so many other politicians, he has lied just to get our votes, just to get his ass back in office while these shootings persist on a higher scale and the bad guys get away. I said this before. On top of all of this, the bad guys get away with crime. They're out there to do this again. And that's scary about this. Once the shooting starts, the bad guys doesn't get caught, they're out there again. People are afraid because the man is still out there. The guys are still out there with the guns. They have not been caught. So, plain and simple, this has been, again, I will say, this has been total one-on-one failure of the Chicago Police Department and the mayor of Chicago when it comes to stopping this senseless crime that occurs each and every weekend. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to just be the weekend. It's going to be through the weekdays now because the weather is getting too nice. And these guys are riding around in a car, stopping and just shooting people. I don't know how people could really do that, you know. But, and I've preached so many times about putting down, if I can say, I've preached so many times about putting down the guns in this city. I've given shows putting down the guns. I don't know if they heard me. I don't think they give a damn what I'm saying. These guys just like to shoot. They like to kill. They like to see themselves, at least they like to see what they've done, what the misery or the carnage that they caused. They like to see that on the 6 o'clock news. And like I said before, the police know where these guys are. In some cases, they know who they are. But they somehow let these guys still walk the street and shoot people up. They don't, they're not just walking the street. They're driving by and shooting. This is why I say if the police were patrolling like they should be, they can catch this stuff. If this stuff is happening all over the city, cops somewhere has to say, I stopped the crime from occurring. I've just saved someone's life. But that doesn't happen. Where are the police officers to stop this stuff? Who knows? At the donut shop? Watching a baseball game or something on their devices? I mean, this is just nutty. All of this crime is just, it's just crazy. Man. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I got about 7 minutes into the program. I'm going to end this thing on this note, this violence. You know, I mean, I'm going to stay right here, and I'm going to talk about it. I mean, I may be repeating myself from what I've said at the start of the show. It's only because I'm passionate about this. I think we should get rid of Gary McCartney, he of this town. I mean, if you got a police officer, a police department in your town, and these guys are not combating crime the way they're supposed to, the way we are paying them to do it, fire their asses. Get them out of there. They're not doing their job. Hire somebody that you know, that we know, that's going to stop the senseless killing so we, as Americans, can walk down our own walk down the streets of our own neighborhood without being molested or being shot at or shot and killed because the police were not there to stop it, as they get paid to be there to stop it, to stop crime. This is crazy, and I'm jumping in his ass, and I hope somebody who hears this archives this show and let him hear it. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a voter. I don't like what's going on in my city and my town, and there's nothing he can say to convince me that crime is down. Nothing. So don't even try it. Convince me that you can stop this senseless killing, stop the senseless murder, stop the senseless crime that go on each and every night in this city. And I'm not just talking about shootings. I'm talking about domestic violence, domestic abuse, crazies, excuse me, crazies with guns, the mentally ill out here with guns, the punks, the thugs, the criminals with guns. I don't care how many guns the police department confiscate. They're not going to confiscate them all, period. We don't need that excuse. Where are they getting the guns? Or those kind of questions. We don't care. We want the guns taken off the street. We want more than the guns. We want the guys who are using the guns illegally taken off the streets. There's a lot of law-abiding gun owners out here. And I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the guys with guns who illegally have guns and who will use them on our children. We just have to do something about it. I'm trying to do something about it. I'm just not sitting at a microphone with a bunch of computers in front of me. I want you to help me do something about solving the crime problem in this city and in every city around the U.S. that needs solving of these senseless crimes that happens every single day in our communities, our neighborhoods, with nothing done from the local government, nothing done from the politicians. This is why I say I'm not all that much of an Obama fan, because I don't think Obama has done enough. He's done a lot of lip service for city crime. He's done tremendous for gay marriage. He's done tremendous for TPP, this bad trade deal. He's got it passed, so we might as well try to work with that if we can. He had a lot of victories, winning this, winning that, health care and all that kind of stuff. But basically, when it comes to people, African-American people, crime, he has done nothing. He's done a lot for immigration, Mexican people, illegals. But he's done nothing for African-Americans, not even raising the minimum wage. Chicago had to do that all by itself. And as for a state minimum wage, you can forget it. Bruce Rauner is not going to go for it. The Illinois legislature, they're going to try to pass minimum wage. They're going to try to override him on a lot of things. And when they get back on the 7th of July, they're going to try to override him on these funding cuts too, which is a good thing. Keep my fingers crossed for that. And like I said before, they're not calling it an Illinois shutdown. I don't know why. But before the shutdown, they were calling it a shutdown. As the state finally shut down, they start calling it something else, an impasse. So that's the media for you. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I got about a minute left in the show. Let's see what we can talk about. I will be back on the air July 9th, 10th. 11th and 12th. So I have to set up shows and prepare shows for that. But right now, you can take a look, listen to this. And let's see. It's still beautiful outside. Okay. All right, be right back. Big George here. If you have a product or a book that you would like to have advertised on this show, book me up. I will run two spots on this show for you every show date for a month for only $29.99 per month. My show is airing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starting at 6 p.m., 90 minutes to 2 hours. Thanks a lot. Hey, friends and fans, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. You know, it costs a lot to keep this show airing. It takes time, preparation, and dedication. And most of all, it takes revenue. If you would like to donate to keep this show on the air each and every day, just about, go to www.georgewilderjr.com. That's www.georgewilderjr.com to help keep this important show on the air. Donate for a good cause, the cause of this show, my show, your show. This is the talk of our times. Thank you very much.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my.
All right, I'll see you later. Bye bye. Gotta go.